We also have a new couple that you may not you probably know, but I want to introduce them to you again. Would you bring the slide up, please? Oh, wrong one. John and Bev got married Friday night. He told me he may not be here today. And I said, well, I'll excuse you this time. But so anyway, John and Bev Neal will be in attendance next week, probably. And so you can congratulate them on their marriage. So, isn't that sweet? So we're talking about today, all eyes on Israel. Actually, it's going to be a two-part series. We're going to be talking about this week, we're going to be talking about the physical aspect of all eyes on Israel. Why is that such a big deal throughout the world, not just here in America, not just in Israel, but all over the world? I mean, there are other countries who have problems. We don't hear much about Boko Haram and in Liberia. We don't hear much about what's going on in Haiti, which I don't know if you know it or not, but they know it now have no government, and it's all run by gangs. Okay. And it's just a horrendous mess. We don't hear a lot about that. But anytime anything goes on in Israel, it's broadcast all over the world. Why is that? Next week, we want to talk about why such hate in Israel. But today we just want to look at why is Israel under a microscope and everyone watching what's going on in Israel? And it has more to do with the atrocities that are taking place. It has more to do with than women being raped, babies being shot and killed, which is horrendous, horrible. I can't imagine such evil in a person's heart. I can't imagine that. And it has more to do with even Americans being abducted and taken into custody and others taken into custody. It has more to do with that because even when those things aren't going on, still there's something always going on with Israel. You know, that President Trump and others have tried to make peace accords and have been somewhat successful, but not totally successful. And to be honest with you, that's really is not going to take place until Jesus comes again. Okay. That's not going to take place till Jesus comes again. And you can read it in scripture. Okay. I appreciate what has been done in some of these countries, Saudi Arabia and other places, where there's been peace. And you know, scripture says that we need to pray for the peace of Israel. We need to constantly pray for the peace of Israel. But again, the culmination of that will only come when Jesus Christ comes. So what we're praying for in regards to that is, Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. Because that's the only time we're going to experience peace in the Middle East. So why are all eyes on Israel? So in order to understand this, we're going to have a history lesson. Okay, you may not like history. I hated history in high school and in college. When I was in college and I took my Western Civ class, I begged for a D. I went up to my Western Civ professor and just, please help me. He gave me a D. Praise the Lord. I could not stand history, but Bible history is a whole lot different. And we need to understand some things regarding this historical aspect of what's going on in the lives of Israel. Because God has made some tremendous promises to Abraham, we're going to find out. And did you know that those promises affect me as well? And if we're not aware of those promises, we can walk blind and not experience everything that God has for us, not have the hope that he wants us to have, because we don't know what he has promised us. If someone who had never lied promised you something, could you be assured that you're going to get it? Of course. Now, if the liar promises you something, he's like, we'll see. I'm not going to hold my breath, right? But when God promises something, you may not get it tomorrow, but I guarantee you, you'll get it. I guarantee you. And so we're going to look at some of that. But I want us first to clear up some confusion. We're going to look at Hebrews, Jews, and Israelites. What's the difference? Because you've heard these terms as it was spoken about this group of people. Jews, Israelites, and Hebrews. What's the difference? Really, there's nothing. There's no difference. When you're talking about when Abraham was called a Hebrew. And so when you're talking about the lineage of Abraham down through the ages, starting with Abraham, then it's the Hebrews. Okay? They really don't know what Hebrew means. They think possibly it means one who's crossed over. Because when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, he had to cross over the Euphrates River to get to Canaan, the promised land. And so the term may have come from that, to cross over. So you remember the story in the scripture about the Tower of Babel? Okay. And there was so all the people were one. And they were worshiping not God, but the heavenly hosts, if you would, stars and the moon. And so they were making this huge edifice to these gods and to these stars, and they were worshiping these things. And God said, we have a problem here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to confound their languages. I'm going to send them out so that they can't be worshiping these kind of things. And so they went in a lot of different directions. There was a group of individuals who went over to the Ur of the Chaldees, which is somewhat distant from Babel, and set up camp there. Abram's lineage or family went to that area. And you remember he confused all the languages. And so about 250 years after the Tower of Babel, Abram was born to Terah. And so God had evidently spoken to his dad, Terah, and told dad, get out of Haran and go to Canaan. I'm trying to remember if he's in the Ur of Chaldees yet. No, get out of Haran and go to Canaan. And so he started, and then he kind of found a nice place in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he stopped there. He just started camp there. And so Terah's son, Abram, was told by God, Abram, I need you to leave this Ur of the Chaldees. I need you to go wherever I show you. He didn't tell him where. He said, I'm going to show you a place. All you need to do is just follow what I say. So every morning, I'm assuming Abram would wake up and say, okay, God, where are we going today? And the Lord would direct it. And I think that's the way we need to be. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want us to do today? Well, Abram was at that point in his relationship with the Lord. He had cast away the other gods that were in the family life. And he was like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. And so he would pick up his baggage. And every morning he and Sarah and Lot and Sarah's handmaiden would make their way through the desert, along with other servants, some sheep, cattle, those kind of things. And so, if you would, and by the way, so Hebrew is from the lineage of Abraham. Then there was the Israelites. That's from Jacob, which is Abram's grandson. Okay, changed. He had a fight with an angel, and the angel renamed him Israel. Used to be called Jacob, renamed him Israel. And so he had 12 sons, and these 12 sons were then the tribes of Israel. So that's why they were called the Israelites. Later on, fast forward many years, Babylon conquered Judah and took into captivity a lot of people from Judah. And so from that period on, the people were called the Jews because of the captivity of Judah. Okay. So when you're talking about Jews, and you talk about Israelites, and you're talking about Hebrews, they're all the same people group. Okay. Did I lose you? Okay, good. So, why are all eyes on Israel? Number one, the land of Israel is the only real estate deeded by God to a people. Okay, it's the only real estate. There's no one else in all the world that God said, I'm going to give you this piece of property for you and your ancestors. But that happened to Abram. Because Abraham was willing to, I'm sorry, Abram was willing to follow the Lord, willing to faith him in the journey that God had told him he was going to be have endeavored. So in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, let me just say this, that was approximately 4,000 years ago. Okay? About 4,000 years ago, about 2,000 BC. Now, the Lord had said in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram left with his wife, his nephew, his sheep, everyone that we spoke of earlier, and set up camp in the land of Canaan. And he started looking after his sheep. When he got there, there was a conflict between Abram and his nephew Lot. You remember the story. There was there was not enough land for them to, evidently both of them had a tremendous amount of sheep. And there was not enough land for them. And Abraham said, you go and just choose an area you want to go to. And Lot left. And then God said this to Abram, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. So when Abram went to the land of Canaan, it was called the land of Canaan because that's where Cain lived. Okay. And so later on, it will become the land of Israel, which is the same land that we observe on television today. Same geographical location. However, because of the wars and everything that's gone off, Israel has shrunk. And I was going to look up and see how big it is. I think somebody said it's about the size of Rhode Island, New Jersey. Thank you, Michael. So a very small landmass, and God promised that to them, but he also promised the land from the Euphrates River out to the Mediterranean Sea down to about Egypt and a large landmass, but all they own is that little speck. And so now that's not what all God promised them, but that's what they own at this time. So first thing we notice is that God deeded the land to Abram because of his faithfulness. The second thing I want you to notice is those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. Did you know that that's one of the reasons that God has blessed the United States the way he has? And that may be the only reason now. Because we've surely turned our back on him in a lot of other ways. But if you notice, there are a lot of people who are actually now in the United States anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, pro-Iran, pro-everyone else except for Israel. Okay? But here's the thing. How many of you would like to receive blessings? He says, if you want to receive a blessing, give Israel a blessing. How many of you want to be cursed? Good. Because Scripture says, if you curse Israel, you will be cursed. So if you are new, if you're a new Christian, you may be wondering, why so much emphasis on Israel? And why do Christians pray for and encourage and stand beside Israel? The reason is because we want to be blessed, right? Now, does Israel do everything right? No. God didn't say, well, if they do everything right, then you bless them. Okay? You just bless them. And as we bless them, then God says that he will bless us. So when we stand and we pray for them, that is blessing them. And I would encourage you to pray for them in your own quiet time, in your own devotion time. Pray for Israel and pray your blessings upon them. So the third thing we notice is that this is an everlasting covenant. Say everlasting. So how long is everlasting? So if God says, I'm going to give this land to you, Abraham, as an everlasting covenant, how long can Abraham or Abram expect to receive that blessing? Forever. Okay. And did you know that tied with that covenant are those blessings and cursings? So the blessings and cursings are everlasting too, right? Tied with that covenant, if you bless Israel, if you bless Israel, if you bless Israel, then you will be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. And he said, this is an everlasting covenant that I've made with you. So just as the land is an everlasting covenant, so are the blessings and cursings. Okay, so I want an everlasting blessing. That comes from my blessing, Israel. Now, the fourth thing I want you to notice, and we're not going to get all into the biblical history. You just take it for what it's worth. Though the Jewish people were dispersed throughout the world, there were still those who continued to practice their faith. And there were still those, there was a remnant who continued to practice their faith, and those who continued to marry within their own people group. Okay, God said, I'm going to keep a remnant. So for 4,000 years, there's been a group of people that are still intact. And that's a miracle in itself. You know, my dad was German. My mom was French. I don't know what back behind that or whatever, but I'm a hodgepodge. Okay. We call a dog a mutt when he's got, you know, that. So maybe I'm a mutt, but God kept this people for himself, which to me, it's just amazing. It's just amazing in that respect. The fifth thing we'll notice is that he told Abram, said, you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing to everyone in the world. And we see that fulfillment through Jesus Christ. Okay. So the next thing we know, I want you to look at this Psalm 105. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. So one of the things he did is he promised Abram all of this land. The second thing I want you to notice or understand is that the law, the Holy Scriptures, and the prophets all came through the Jewish line. There was no one other than Jews who wrote this word in the Old Testament. It was only through the Jews. So God gave his word through the Jews. Every word written from the mind of God and spoken through the prophets are here. And so we have the ability to study God's word. Next Sunday morning in our Sunday school class, our life group class, I'm going to show you a video, a CD, of how God preserved his word all through the ages, from the time of the Torah through the Israelite nation, and how God kept that going, and a special emphasis on the Dead Sea Scrolls. I think it would be interesting to you to discover that and to find that. And so I'm going to invite you to that. A third thing we discover that happens through the blessings of Abraham or through the blessings of Israel is that the Messiah, God's son, Jesus, is prophesied to come through the Jews. Okay. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. 1 Kings 9:5. For I made this promise to your father David, one of your descendants will always sit on the throne of Israel. Again, that's talking about Jesus. That comes through the Jewish line. So that's why our eyes on Israel. Many are watching to see the outcome of the war. Some are cheering for Israel, and some are cheering for Hamas. Israel did not want war. They did not want war with Hamas or any other nation, but there are those who want war with them. And other Muslim nations, splinter groups, such as Hamas, want war with them. But I want you to understand that God is omnipotent and God is sovereign. And regardless of how many nations come against them, they will not be annihilated. According to God's word, God will fight for them. There has been and always will be a remnant. There's coming a battle, according to Scripture, that says that there will be such devastation toward Israel that 2/3 of them will be catastrophes. 2/3 of the nation of Israel will be wiped out. But there's 1/3, there's a remnant, will recognize Jesus, will be saved. They're going to win in the end. They're going to win in the end. And they're going to win regardless. And I'm glad we're assisting them. I'm glad that other nations are assisting them. I'm glad that there's an uprising of assistance right now, because that has not always been the case. But did you know that even if there was not any assistance, God would fight for them? And he would be victorious. They would be victorious. So we need to see one of the things that we need. I don't watch a lot of news, but I'm watching a lot of Israel, because we need to see what God is doing in the Middle East. Many are watching to see if Iran gets involved, which could possibly be prophecy fulfilled of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is talks about two nations, or actually, I think about four nations, one Gog, one Magog, one Tubal, and someone else. So Gog is Persia. or Iran. And so when Iran begins to come against Israel, that may be a fulfillment of prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38. That prophecy has not been fulfilled yet. We're still waiting for that. Magog, so when this was written, Magog was Russia, the area of Russia, okay? And so Iran and Russia have now made an alliance that in all of their, for 250 years, there has not been any alliance. So in of all of their history, there's never been an alliance. Now there's an alliance. Iran and Russia have an alliance. If Iran comes in, it's possible that Russia could come in. And if that's the case, then we're definitely going to be watching as Ezekiel 38 unfolds, which is exciting because that means we're at the end. Okay. Turkey would become involved as well. And so we need to keep our eyes on Israel because end time events are, it's not what happens to America that we can determine end time events. Jesus said that it's the what goes on in Israel that determines end time events. Now listen, Israel is still God's chosen people, as are Christians. One day, there's going to be a great awakening of Israel's eyes of all the Jews to come to Jesus. Look at this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. He says, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves, and talking about to the Gentiles. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel, say all Israel, will be saved. As the scriptures say, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness, and this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. Now, Israel's not there yet. They, some of them, still adhere to the Old Testament practices. Some of them are just have thrown everything away. Some of them don't even believe the Messiah is going to come, that they misread Scripture. Some of them believe that he will come, but he hasn't come yet. So if you look at the book of Romans, it talks about the grafting in of the Gentiles. So it's almost like God said, okay, in order for the Gentiles to come into the kingdom, I'm going to cut away some branches, cut away some Jews, and start grafting in Gentiles. But there's going to come a day when the Gentiles are going to refuse Jesus Christ, and then I'm going to start grafting in the Jews again. Okay? Are you following me? Okay. I want to say it in a way that you can receive it. So, what does this word all mean? Are you sure? Well, I decided to look it up in the Greek. And the way you pronounce it is pas in the Greek. Yeah, this word, this term is used many times. About 1,000 times in Scripture, and it's translated all 731 times, all people 4 times, all things 126 times, entire 4 times, every 128 times, everyone 71 times, and whole 18 times. But sounds like all to me, right? So when it says that all Israel will be saved, how many of Israel will be saved? All of them. And I believe that. God's going to do it. We can read other scriptures where he talks about how he's going to do it. He's going to fight for them. And they're going to see the magnificence of their Lord and Savior and realize that they missed the Messiah. And every one of them at one time are going to receive him. Man, I can't wait for that day. That's going to be an exciting day. An exciting day. Next, and I shared this when Jesus was discussing end time events. He shared with us that only by looking at what was going on in Israel could we see the signs of his coming. Okay? You can't look at America. You can't look at Germany. You can't look at Europe. You can't look at any of those places. The only place you're going to find the end time events is in Israel, in Matthew 24. Next, when Jesus returns, he will set up his kingdom on earth and rule with justice and in righteousness from the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Okay? So that's why we look at Israel. That's why our focus is, that's why the world is focused on Israel. That's why all eyes are on Israel, because Jesus is going to come back and he's going to set up his earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land." This is a prophecy concerning Jesus. So, in conclusion, there are many reasons why all eyes are on Israel. Some eyes are for watching for their destruction. Some are for watching for their salvation. Some are watching for the signs of the times. Some are looking for the return of the Messiah to set up his earthly reign. That's why all eyes are on Israel. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you going to bless Israel? Or are you going to curse Israel? Great. You will receive a blessing by doing so. Let me ask you another question. How would you react if God Almighty made an everlasting covenant with you? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Did you know he has? I can't imagine. You think of Abraham and God approaching him and said, "Listen, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you." Can you imagine what was going on inside of him? Like, man, that's, who am I? What am I? And Scripture says to us, to you, to me, "I want to make an everlasting covenant with you." You're familiar with John 3:16. Why don't you say it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's an everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. To all who receive Jesus, it's an everlasting covenant. And did you know, just like Abraham received a home, that you have, when you receive that covenant, that you have a home in heaven prepared for you? John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You may live in a tent. You may live in your car. You may live in a cardboard box. You may live in a nice home. But Scripture says, regardless of where you live, if you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he has a home for you, an eternal place, an eternal dwelling place for you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I can't wait to see my home. And did you know it's an everlasting home? It's not going to rot. I don't have to get the Terminex guy to come out and spray for bugs. I don't have to paint it every year. I don't have to do upkeep, because it's an everlasting home. God's going to prepare that. He's preparing that. He'll provide that for each of his children. I want to ask you a question. Have you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you a participant in, a recipient of that everlasting covenant? If not, God wants to make that covenant with you just like he made with Abraham. A new home, a new land, a new life. But you have to leave where you are and go to this new place with Jesus. You have to leave your old life and pick up the new. Have you done that? Have you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you've not done so, then I want to give you an opportunity to do this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you today and just want to thank you for just your mighty works in our life. Thank you for the way that you bless us each and every day. Lord, and I ask today that as we sing our worship to you, that Lord, if there's anyone here who has not received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would do so. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. We thank you for the many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.